Our next speaker is an online speaker, I guess. Barbara Bezdekova. Is she online?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you. Can you share? Yeah. Can you put it on full screen? Yeah. Or we are doing it. We are doing it.
Can you see my mouse?
Yes, we can see.
Fine. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I would like to present my results about the necessary conditions which are needed in order if you want to describe a ray penetrating around a compact object which has axially symmetric stationary property, and it is located in plasma medium or in medium in general, but I will be using plasma. For this aim, I will use a Hamiltonian approach based on the theory by Singer, where we can use a Hamiltonian in such form where this first part is connected with the space-time and the metric and the momentum of the ray, while the second part is actually given by the medium in which we describe our system. For this characterization of the medium, we use plasma frequency, which is given by this formula, where these three are constants. So basically, the space-time dependence is only given by the density of the plasma. So sometimes maybe I will use terms density instead of frequency, but it is due to the fact that the dependence on the space-time and the profile of the plasma frequency is given solely dependent on the density of plasma. And to be able for a ray to propagate through such medium, it must hold that the frequency of the ray is larger than this plasma frequency. And of course, because it's a standard Hamiltonian approach, there are also equations of motion in this form, and it will be useful further. So that's the Hamiltonian, that's the medium, and the next ingredients in our approach is the space-time. And for this general form, I will use metric in this form, which has axially symmetric property, and we know that these factors present in the metric depend only just on the first two coordinates, x1 and x2. k1 and k2, I will show later what they mean and the physical meaning, but for now, let us know that the factors in the metric are only functions of either x1 or x2. Of course, if we consider a concrete space-time metric with this symmetry like Kerr metric, there could be also dependence on a spin parameter or maybe other like charge, but it is not important at now, because for the equations of motion, just the coordinate dependence is relevant. Why it is so important is that because we know, we can see from this form of the metric that there is no exact dependence on either k1 or k2. And from the equations of motion, we can see that these equivalent momenta for these coordinate components are actually constant of motion. And due to the fact that typically k1 could be time coordinate, we can denote this component like omega, which if we consider a concrete physical situation, would be the ray frequency at infinity. And just to be more concise, the second Killing vector will be the momentum corresponding to the second Killing vector will be known like that. And to get the solution of this system, we need two more constant of motions. We have two from the coordinate dependence. The third one is this condition, which is actually a dispersion relation, which holds for this system. And we need one more. And this one more to get a separation, because to be able to solve this system, we have to define a separated system. Then we need Carter constant. And the following procedure will be actually based on the Carter approach, but it will be generalized for the plasma case, while the Carter constant original was derived just for the vacuum case. And to do so, I have to introduce action of the system in this very special form, where I can assume that I can separate all the terms which depend only just on one coordinate and the related factors. And if I substitute in the Hamiltonian by the standard form, the momentum by the derivative of the action, I will obtain this form of the Hamiltonian. And to perform the separation, I will multiply this Hamiltonian by an arbitrary function f, which can help me to perform the separation. And if I do so, I will now have, I can see that in this this term have to be a solely function of x1, and this term should be only function of x2. And for this reason, I have to stress that this fraction should be a new function f, curl of f, which is solely function of x1, and the second term here must be only function of x2. And if I combine these two conditions, I will get this condition, necessary condition for the terms in the metric, which b is actually is the factor standing by the g x1 x1, and this one is for g x2 x2. So this is these are these two components. And for the other three parameters which I have in my metric, when I look at this form, I can see that there is another condition, and it is in this form that when I plug my original term, either A or C or P, by the this arbitrary function and divided by the subdeterminant of this system, I will have to obtain a separated form. And also there is a condition for the plasma, which is quite easy, because I can see that I have to just obtain a separated form, which could be defined just in like that, to be able to maintain the separability. And we can look that this condition is solely independent of the conditions which are given for the space-time metric coefficients. So we can see that if the metric cannot be separated, then the plasma it's actually quite independent, and there is no way how to improve. For example, if it's not possible in vacuum, then we could ask whether there could be some plasma density profile which could allow us to perform the separability. The answer is no, it's not possible, because it's completely independent. And if we plug, if we assume that these conditions hold, we plug them back to the Hamiltonian, we obtain this general formula for the Carter constant in plasma in a spherically symmetric, axially symmetric space-time in plasma. And what is now helpful, or why there is the reason why to do that, usually rays described in such systems are described and characterized by photon region and shadow of the object which could be caused by the fact that it's gravitating, but it's also affected by the plasma. And in the next in the rest of my talk, I would like to show you the general formulae which can be obtained for finding the photon region and black hole shadow in arbitrary axially symmetric space-time in plasma. So what I do need for that is to compute the my momentum, second momentum coordinate, which is the coordinate related to K2 and the form of the Carter constant. And I can use these conditions because I know that this is from the equations of motion, and I will assume that this condition holds. If I do so and I plug back and compute everything, I will obtain concrete form of these two functions. And if I apply concrete situation, concrete space-time, and use that, I can obtain the concrete formula. And the photon region would be used from the remaining equation of motion. And because I know that there is a squared power of this X2, and I know it has to be positive, then I will obtain condition in this form, which tells me how the rays should behave in order to be able to propagate in the photon region. Photon region is a region where spherical light orbits exist. So this is actually a condition for existence of the spherical light in the system. And if we plug again for our Carter constant and P kappa, we obtain this formula, which might seem a little bit complicated, but if you look carefully at it, it's actually quite easy, because if you see, you can see that all the derivatives are only derivatives of the terms proportional to x1, and there are derivatives with respect to x1, and the other terms, which are not derivatives, are on the one hand side just functions of x1, and the second are functions of x2, and we can also determine quite easily the factors which stem from the presence of plasma, so we are also able to reconstruct the vacuum case. And for the black hole shadow, it's a little bit more complicated, because we have to define an observer which observes the shadow. And for that reason, we also have to define a tetrad, which describes the observer. And because we are doing everything generally, it's not possible to perform this tetrad in a more concrete form than I show you here. And we have to for a concrete example, we have to calculate these factors y1 to y4 in order to fulfill the orthonormality condition. But if we do so, and we also use the fact that we have actually a tangent vector of light ray, which we can characterize by two different approaches. One is only given by the coordinate system, which I introduced before, and the second one is given by the coordinate systems which are adjusted for the observer, which are the collatitude and the azimuthal angle, psi and theta. And if we compare these two equations and obtain the formula for the factors A, alpha and beta, which are here, we are able to obtain a general coordinate prescriptions for these two coordinate systems, which are in the form of the adjusted for the observer. And yes, that's it. We can apply this for concrete examples. I unfortunately don't have enough time to show them here, but I can show them in a short during the discussion. But what I want to say now is that I showed you general conditions which are necessary to be able to perform separability and obtain Carter constant in a general axially symmetric space-time in plasma. I also obtained the general prescriptions for the black hole shadow and photon region. And I showed you that the conditions which are obtained for plasma and space-time are independent. and it could be applied for arbitrary space-time and in arbitrary coordinate system if we choose properly the coordinates. So that's it. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, and sorry for this problem we experienced. Questions. It's time for questions.
I would like to ask you a question about what kind of particles are describing in your theory. I mean, you've got an Hamiltonian and it describes some motion of particles. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in what kind of particles are you describing.
So these are just for photons, this approach, or light rays, if you want.
Okay, just for photons.
Yes.
And maybe another question, the part in the Hamiltonian, which is related to the plasma,
mm-hmm.
how plasma affects the motion of these particles. Thank you.
Sorry, the question was how the plasma affects the motion of the particles. Did I understood it right?
Yeah, specifically the part in the Hamiltonian, which is not related to the metric, but to the plasma itself.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether I will answer properly to your question, but the point is that we know that both plasma and space-time affects the trajectory of the particles of the photon. And in this approach, we are doing this completely generally, so we can trace the effect of both plasma and vacuum independently. And of course, there is this effect, but it depends on concrete situation, how large the effect is, if you want a qualitative answer. I hope, does it answer to your question?
Yes, thank you very much. Any more questions? If not, then let's thank again. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Barbara, wait a minute.
Yes.
So there is one question on the chat. Can you see?
Yes. Or I can just write the message, or should I answer right now?
No. Yes. Can you read first?
Just yes.
We can follow.
So you said that the omega naught is the frequency at infinity. How is it for non-flat spacetimes? So we assume that the spacetime is asymptotically flat. And how realistic is this approach and the resulting plasma profiles? So it definitely depends on the plasma profile. And right now we applied to this for the plasma profile, which where the plasma decreases with the radial distances. And this seems to us to be more or less realistic, and it of course depends on particular models, but in the literature there are plenty of models which, for example, agree with density profile in various galaxies, and if we apply them, then we could say that it is more or less realistic.
Thank you very much.